and also our dear humble officials. I normally call them my colleagues, because they are the ones that make this government tick. May we deal with the apologies. We've got an apology from Honorable Ngwabe. Honorable Hlebo, who have requested to be excused, are going to the Finance Committee. Don't dim the light as yet. Honorable Nyamiboy is attending SCOPA. Honorable Dex would like to be excused in a few minutes. He has to go to the Women's Committee. We've got an apology from Honorable Khadebe, Minister Khadebe. He's in cabinet. I understand the reason that they put before us, but there is a formal apology. Other than that, we haven't received any other apologies. But all members of the committee were advised, even the new member. I know because I did that as well. So we are making sure that none of the members will possibly raise an issue that he was not aware of the sittings of the portfolio committee. With that, are there any other apologies that I'm omitting?
No.
Okay, thank you. That will bring us to the business of today. The first item is deliberation of the select successful candidate. I've been talking. Yes, because we didn't discuss who's going to report, so I have to do it myself. Honorable members of the committee, may I take this opportunity to present to you the report from the work that we've been given by the committee of identifying the best men and women to fill the three vacancies of the Public Service Commissioners. We have done the work and we've concluded it. Would like to present the report, which will be at threefold. One, at our first meeting, we set the criteria, the rules in terms of how we are going to go this process. Noting that when we're shortlisting, we did also agree that the criteria that we set for ourselves before when we're shortlisting, which was also the guiding template, also the other guiding template that we use, we agreed that also we'll use the CVs. The administration prepared us a draft questions that all of us we did receive with the possible responses that we're expecting from the candidates. However, on that one, we agreed that we are not going to be only locked on those which we really appreciated, suggested questions from the administration, but also members are going to be using their own follow-ups, also picking up from the CVs of per individual candidate. Fourthly, we agreed that also we are not going to be using the scoring, we are going to deliberate each and every name when we are coming to that point of deciding who is the best performed men and women, the way we viewed them. And that was the roadmap that we agreed upon, all members. The second leg then, we embark on the interviews. Lacking for a better English word, I would say unfortunately also our... our interviews coincided with the three-line week, which was even we advised at a very short notice where we couldn't plan otherwise. But what we did as a committee, without dealing with the details, is that we seek a permission, and the permission was granted to spread it over to the following day. However, also we did also making sure that also we are seeing that we are carrying individuals or parliament, so to say, but also people planned to come for one day. The subcommittee invited all the outstanding in the middle of the interview to say, to make an apology to them, and also to make a plea for them to bear with us that we are going to be spreading to the following day, and also we'll urge them to accept that request and slip over, notwithstanding the discomfort and inconvenience that has caused, but we also explained to them that it was beyond our control. So we agreed then we had a two-day interview session. The same principle applied to the following day of the other remaining six set of candidates. Members were requested also to leave their files and their questions behind on the first day. Second day we agreed, then we interviewed and the interviews went smoothly and there was no sign of discomfort in terms of also the candidates themselves. They also given enough time to present themselves before the subcommittee. Today then we were dealing with the selection of the preferred best performed candidate. Firstly, we looked at the process that will bring us to the final destination. The process that the subcommittee agreed upon with the assistance of some of the members who were present, because they were allowed also to come also observing, but they were not going to be also to engage on the process as it were, because they belong to the main committee. We agreed that we will, each member will, of course, without discussing each and every 14 candidates, we agreed that we'll take an option which is the most, also one of the preferred and used approach, that each member will submit their names in an order form. And then thereafter, we will then identify the common names among those names, which all members without a fail of the subcommittee did submit, not less than three names. Let me just see what I'm missing there. What informed members, without going back to every detail in terms of the interviews, was that also the CVs, which was also one of the tools that we're using in terms of identifying a preferred candidate, so as it may. So we used that approach. So we came up with three names. Without any order that I will present to the committee, is the Mr. Sizani, Mrs. Nzimande, and Dr. Luthuli. The subcommittee didn't vote. They agreed there was a consensus on the names of the three names, which is highly commended. Yes. So we are presenting a collective report. Because the other names that couldn't make it, they enjoyed three names of the members and one and two. So those are the members of the subcommittee that were present were six. Just for transparency sake, also the first name that I said is Suzanne, he got five out of six, and then the rest got six. So that's how then we determined, and also I've just outlined the two. That's how we have then get, that's the end of part one, the final mandate that were given by the subcommittee and the House on behalf of the committee. What we have added also is the recommendation moving forward, which is an advice that would like our minutes also to capture that for the programming and also the programming. That there must be, there's a need of a uniform guiding template. How do we engage or embark on interview process, as it were? Because it does then makes the process to be a little bit bumpy or uncomfortable. There were a few points that the members raised as recommendations, which I'll just read them without an order. A need of a document process that will assist Parliament in engaging on interview processes. Also, the time allocation of interviews should be reasonable enough. And also the interview scheduling of the days, also the programming should assist that the interviews, because they are event-orientated by its nature, that they take a priority so that members are not taken in and out of the House when there's a three-line week sitting. also what they raised also, which is outside this one, is a letter that should be written to the candidate just to express our apology in terms of the disturbances in terms of the interview. The other one that yes, I think in a nutshell that's it. But the administration also, they have captured all the points that was raised by the members. It will be circulated before it's submitted to the House of Chairs and the programming as a recommendation from this committee. With that, members, if there are any omissions that I would have omitted, I'll see by show of hands. If we are happy, also I'll see by show of hands. Members who were present, yes, sorry, before that. Okay. Oh, the last one is that the report we are presenting to the main committee. So the main committee then will present the report for formal adoption. But the formal processes of tabling it will also go, because in terms of time, we should have completed this process before month end. It will go the administrative process that is required, and the committee then, because it should reflect in the minutes. I'm reporting VEPA so that the committee can note the report and then adopt it formally then in the next meeting. Members, comments and reaction? Honorable Mare?
Thank you, Chair. Can we just have an attendance register to sign that those who are present now, when you actually give feedback from your subcommittee to this committee, because I haven't received yet the attendance register for this, but we can see there are 7 members present. Thank you.
Okay. On that one, I'll request that Fungile ensure that also it's a separate attendance register, because it's a separate sitting. Please. Thank you. With that, we are happy, members, that the subcommittee have presented they've brought to the occasion, the expected occasion. Thank you very much. And you must tell me, members, how do we want us to proceed? I'll look at your face, you nod, or you shake your hand, I'll know that you don't, or you just keep quiet. Can I see Director Dombe?
Let's go ahead, sir. I'm okay, let's go ahead.
Okay.
The report must be...
Set him down. Okay. Honorable Mare, thank you so much. Okay. Thank you so much. That will bring us to briefing by DPME on... That will bring us to the briefing by DPME on MPAT. Noting that, members, the purpose of this is for us, for them also to highlight the areas that we need to pay attention, not necessarily only the departments that are serial offenders, so to say, but there are other areas that we need to oversight, that we need to pay attention to. But I must remind members that in our last BRR process and also during our budget, we did make a recommendation in the House that the MPAT, the Treasury and DPME must find a way that we get this report before we engage, 2 weeks, the latest 1 week before we engage on BRR, because it becomes a PR exercise, so to say, which is quite a fruitful exercise that can assist members when they engage on a BRR, even assessing the department, assisted by the AG's report or findings, as it were. But where we are, we're still on the same pool. We'll repeat that recommendation again. But what I'm happy about is that the departments now, or the portfolio committees, have started inviting DPME on MPAT to take them through during their BRR. So they are responding. Just the timing of the consolidated MPAT that needs also to be prior to that, especially for this portfolio committee. Over to you, ma'am. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning to the Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. We're going to present today a report that is two-pronged. First, we present the results of the case studies that were conducted over 5 years and then we also present as part of the report the results for impact for 2015. We will also talk to the initiatives that we have started partly to support those departments that are struggling with improving on their impact results and also the proposed intervention. So partly we've started, but there are those interventions that we propose that we took to cabinet. We'll also share here today. Just a quick executive summary based on our report. I would like to articulate just those viewpoints that MHEP has been implemented over the years to facilitate reforms in the public service. We argue that, Chair, that many view MHEP as a compliance tool. It is beyond that, because whilst we assess management practices, we also design improvement plans and we go back to see if there's change in the management practices in the department. So we also make the point that it was actually designed the tool to complement the systems approach, that is the outcomes approach of government, to ensure a capable public service that can deliver on the long-term objectives of government. Now, from the first version of the MPED, there was an agreement that it was not all bad in the public service. There were those areas, you know, where good practices could be identified. But also from the first years of implementing MPED, it has been clear that there are other areas where really there's poor management practices in government, and which means that we haven't reached where we want to be as a public service. Now, the lessons that have been learned from the case studies that I'm going to present summarize that the issue is managerial leadership in government. And we thought we must document this, honorable members, because it's like an elephant in the room. Everyone understands that there's poor leadership here and there in the public service. There's poor managerial leadership. But no one wants to tackle that point, that issue, in a systematic and way that there can be actually progress monitored in that regard. So we thought, let us bring to the committee that and the approach that we want to take of, you know, a holistic approach. We acknowledge in the document that we I think submitted to the portfolio committee that there have been various interventions in government, from DPSA, from Treasury, from Public Service Commission, trying to intervene in different areas in government. But because those are short-term, disintegrated, they do not yield the results that we want to yield. So with the holistic approach, we're trying to bring it all together. So we will, when we talk to that intervention strategy, show how we do from the diagnostic stage, performing root cause analysis, how we bring other partners on board to actually assist a department in a holistic way. So this is what the report is about. We've just put it in the executive summary there. Talking about the key findings from the case studies, I have noted two key issues. There are pockets of excellence, and I shall showcase in the presentation where those pockets of excellence are in government. And the other issue is that, again, weak managerial leadership practices are prevalent, and not only prevalent, persistent in some areas. There are those government departments that have been seen that they are performing poorly, and there will be interventions. You will see that there's perhaps an interministerial committee that's trying to assist. There's a task team that has been put together. So you see that they are sometimes persistent in those departments because there's poor leadership at the top level in the department. So we also argue that there is evidence that management practices combined with good leadership are key ingredients for high performance as well as service delivery in government. Now, the process of excellence that we conducted the case studies, we used those departments because they were seen to be performing good in key indicators that are used by MPEP. the National Department of Trade and Industry, the Department of Environmental Affairs, South African Police Services, the Western Cape Department of Transport, the Western Cape Department of Health, KZN Treasury, Gauteng Department of Social Development, and Free State Department of Education. We highlighted those departments because we are encouraging a culture of those departments that are performing well to support, to work collaboratively with those departments that are struggling. So for instance, if health in the Eastern Cape province is struggling, they must then look to health in the Western Cape to say, what is it, what have you done differently so that we can also implement, so that we improve as a department. We have we are enforcing that culture of learning from each other, sharing the best practices. So we decided, let us name those that are doing well to encourage, you know, other departments to work with them so that we infuse the culture of learning from each other and also the culture of encouraging best practices in government. The summary, again, that came from the case studies that were performed is that if managers could, in the government department, just implement, just focus on those 6 steps to leadership, it would improve their services. So these 6 steps came from the series of case studies that were conducted. And we are, throughout government, trying to assist those that are struggling to say, start with at least with these basic 6 steps. Make sure that you implement them in your department and see how things unfold. The first one is leading with commitment and consideration. In the case studies, it has shown that where the leader, where the accounting officer, whether it's the director general or the HOD, is not only appointed as an accounting officer, but there is commitment to the position and actually leading with consideration. You get it from the staff. The operational environment is conducive for the staff to perform. People engage, they engage, you know, with the performance of the organization. They are motivated, they are learning organization. It contributes to improved service delivery. The second one is they must build the culture of, you know, accountable and responsive service in the department. So theories, organizational theories, I think are clear that culture can be evasive and can actually affect a service and performance in departments. And in this case studies, again, we have seen in those departments where the culture is very evasive, where when you engage officials, you see that they themselves cannot begin to define that we have this culture of being responsive and of being high performance. You see that it actually shows in the results, in their results, when you look at the performance against targets in those departments. And the third step, we're saying that you must strategize and operationalize and transformation to service delivery outcomes. So whilst we had said in the outcome, in the MPET results, strategic management as a KPA is seen to have improved over the years. But we made the point that we also see that in terms of operationalization, there is a disjoint between the good strategic plans and the actual operationalization of that in terms of human resource planning, human resource management, and actually financial management and human resource planning. So we are saying that there should be that ability of operationalizing the strategies and ensuring that it's integrated and actually made to deliver, you know, on transformation outcomes. So we also learned from the case studies that it is not only about the allocation of resources, it's the ability to use the resources appropriately. So we again saw from the case studies that whilst departments may have resources allocated to them, when even sometimes they may report to have expanded their budget, but if they are not utilizing the resources appropriately, feel the organizational culture will not support performance and improvement in service delivery. So the case studies have showed that, so we say to the managers, therefore, they must make sure that they are utilizing the resources appropriately, financial as well as human resources. We are ourselves not conducting the satisfaction surveys in departments, but we could get the climate, organizational climate in the departments that are doing well in the MPET, that, and then we compare it to those departments that are not doing well, and we could get that the organizational climate actually is contributing to them not committing to work, not wanting to drive the change and contribute to improvements in departments. Then the next step, we're talking about integration, the ability to integrate it all, you know, the finances, the systems, the processes, all working together. Again, we saw that from the case studies, the departments that are doing well, the leadership there is able to ensure that there are systems in place, integrated in the processes. It doesn't rely on one person or the few of the executives. It's actually institutionalized and everything is integrated. They perform better, not only in the MPET results, they perform better also in service delivery, and therefore the better organizational culture that is more responsive to challenges. And then we were then saying, lastly, it is important that they review performance, and not only review performance report, but what is critical is for the department to respond with agility to issues that need response. So when they see they don't perform, they must respond quickly. These departments that have shown to have consistently been improving, either improving in the MPET results or sustaining the good performance in MPET results, they've got systems in place to ensure that where there is a problem, the response rate is quicker than those departments where, when there is an issue at hand, where there is a challenge, you find that the department is struggling, it will not deal with the same issue, whether the issue is brought to the fore by AG or by DPME or by DPSA, the department will not change. It is where there is, again, poor managerial leadership and there's poor commitment of the leaders in that department. And in some cases we've seen, it's where there's really no leadership in other departments. So we then saw that even the DGs are not at par with one another. Other director generals are doing very well. Other director generals have relegated the functions of being DGs, and they are actually running, with the meal, and the organization is really struggling to get it all together, so that they are improved both in managerial leadership aspects but also on service delivery. So we took these steps. We said we're taking them to the foresight, where is the forum of directors general. We're saying for those that are doing well, it's good, but for those that are struggling, to just ensure that the organization is well run, perhaps they need to just start by institutionalizing these 6 steps and then seeing how they assist them to manage the departments better. So we're not focusing only on the DGs, we're focusing on the entire leadership, the DGs, the DGs, the chief directors, the senior managers. And we've engaged the provinces on the 6 steps, and we've engaged some of the national departments on the 6 steps. So these are coming from the case studies. That is the one part of the report. I wanted to just apologize to the members and say this slide, the 6-step slide, is actually towards the end of the presentation. It's there in the pack. But because of the way we've organized the report, that I will deal with the case studies and the leadership issues, and then allow Mr. Serfondin to talk to the results for 2015. I then move to the slide forward, honourable members. Apologies for that. I do not want to confuse you by flipping over the document. Thank you very much. I will then hand over to Hank to talk about the results for 2015.
Thank you, Dr. Ntiki, and thanks, Chair and honourable members. So these are the results of the 15 assessment, and the trends shows that there's in all provinces. So this slide depicts the different provinces, and you'll notice in the middle of roundabout, in the middle to the right of the slide, we have a province called National Department. So basically what we did is we combined all the national departments together to give you a sense of what's going on there. So you can see all the provinces are improving. So even though we on an annual basis review the standards and we raise the bar and make and add additional requirements to the bar as the departments get better, so there is improvement. But unfortunately, I think there's different rates of improvement. So I think for us, a province of concern is still the Northwest province. But we're also seeing that now the Northwest have seemed to have reached stability in their heads of departments, and I think we're looking forward to quite a bit of improvement, because I think the managerial leadership sort of positions are stabilized and things will start going on. So, and again, obviously I think departments from a lower base, it's easier to improve more from a lower base than that. So I think, and even the last bars at the end will give you a sense of what's the overall improvement. So there's improvement, and I think we have to not paint, let's say, too a positive picture. I think we also have to admit that the things that we are measuring are still fairly basic administrative matters. So even though it looks like things are getting better, we're moving forward, I don't think we're at a point yet where we can say that the administration is good and sound and all healthy out there. So that's how sort of the provincial trend. The one thing to notice as well is that national departments are not necessarily better than provinces. They seem to operate sort of on the average level. So this perception that national are better than provinces don't always fly. This slide, I know it's very small, just gives you an understanding, a picture of the movement of the national departments amongst each other, and the bar gives you a sense of what's their latest scores. So you can see the majority of departments have increased and go on and carried on. So I remember last session we talked about the Department of Correctional Services, Public Works, as well as military veterans. So correctional services, you would notice they this low one. Let's just get the pointer. So this is correctional services. So you will see they operated at a fairly average level, and then there was a regression for correctional services. So we were trying to engage with correctional services and let's say with limited success. But then what we do find is that Public Works, and this is the Department of Public Works, and we also had to abbreviate to make space, so it's called NDPW. So the Public Works Department, you would actually see, have had some fairly well improvement from the 1 year to the rest. Sorry, man, I was pointing to the wrong one. So Public Works is around about here. So you'll see the Public Works Department, because there was support strategies implemented, in assisting the department to turn around. So at least Public Works, we've seen some good movement. Military vets, when we engaged with military vets, we did discover that there is already a process on its way. There's an inter-ministerial task team to look at turning around the department and that. So we're working with that department, that structures and that, because I think we're conscious not to come up with new things if there's already existing sort of activities. And we also, like in Public Works' case, He's saying if there was initiatives to improve the department, turn around the department, we would not immediately jump in again. Give it some time to see that, you know, whether the results are coming through. So those were the departments that we previously discussed. And you can see, you know, the Department of Women is also a department not doing well. You're probably the IPIT, which is the Independent Police Investigative Directorate. So those are the ones. So I think, you know, with respect, I think what assisted us a lot previously was where the committee did invite some of these departments to come and account and just explain sort of their challenges and that to the committee. And then, you know, probably with assistance like the chair mentioned, we have been presenting to some of the portfolio committees, departmental committees, their situation. And that does seem to sensitize departments and make them aware and take up on those things. But overall, as we've seen, there's consistent improvements. We're fairly well with it. So this picture just gives you the trends from 1 year to the next with regard to the four areas that we mentioned. So strategic management has been consistent at a fairly high level, average of 3, which is compliance. So people seem to do what we measure in the MPAT system for them to do. So everybody's got plans and everybody do quarterly reports and all those things. But as Doctor indicated, we're not seeing yet that the strategic plans, the APPs, are really becoming management tools where they are informing and assisting in implementation. And next slide I'll show you as well is that we're not seeing this integration of work between the different unit sections. So everyone is still improving at different rates, but we are still concerned about human resource management, you know, whether it's being taken seriously, whether it's strategic, and whether it's supporting the department in achieving its goals. So even whilst there's improvements, it's still here. I mean, roughly, I think over 40% of all our expenditures on HR, so it is a crucial area that deserves the proper attention. So what we then did is we did an analysis, taking the four key performance areas and comparing it to the Auditor General's pronouncements on how well departments are achieving their annual targets as a performance measure, to then say, you know, if you achieve all your targets in your APPs, then we can call you a fairly successful department. Because it's the only universal measure of performance that we really have. And then we compared the four key performance areas and how they all contribute towards achieving those targets. So what we are seeing, and this picture shows that not all the KPIs directly contribute towards achievement of targets. The one will work through each other. So obviously strategic management and governance is the areas that strategic management tells you what we're doing, where we're heading, what we're supposed to do. Governance are telling you how we do it within an accountable framework and all those things. And you can see strategic management impacting into financial management, into governance, and governance impacting to finance and HR. But the one we marked in red there is that we're not necessarily seeing the relationship, we're not seeing that strategic management and human resource management are actually influencing each other. And this is done all statistically. We hired some previous statistician general to help us on these analysis. So this is statistically showing that there's no real relationship. Then when we investigated that and we find specifically if you're looking at strategic planning sessions of departments, you would look at the agenda and say where do you see human resource management on the agenda. Normally the minister will set the scene the CFO will tell them how much they spent last year, how much they've got to spend this year, and the programs will give their input, and then at the end, human resources will come in, and if there's time left on the agenda, we'll present the current HR profile. So we're seeing a lot where we've seen people committing to ABP targets, strategic plan targets, but they don't have the human resource profile in place to actually support that, the delivery of that, and vice versa. So you would want to see a case where in strategic planning you consider your human resources and plan what's possible, as well as HR has to actively work towards repositioning human resources, changing your skills profile to suit the new strategic directions of the department. So that's the other thing that we've done. So what we've seen is yes, and Dr. Tiki indicated that we've seen lots of different interventions, and I think, as doctors also indicated, we have in the past sort of said that if it's a financial management problem, let's fix finances. Let's go train the financial practitioners and those things. But I think what we're saying is the big contributor is still managerial leadership and how we go across that. So we've initiated a process where we DPSA in Treasury and all get together. We try and identify and get consensus of who is really in trouble as departments, because again, all our tools are also measuring from our own specific sort of perspective, and then come up with root cause analysis and those things to really fix what's the real problem. And then what we've also started, based on our learnings and those six steps on what we think all managers should focus on, we started a series of executive leadership conversations, just again to sensitize, make people aware of saying what is required from let's say a DG in the public service, and what does a good ideal DG look like, to start the process towards changing some of those behaviors and that. So and like I said, we're working with DPSA, Public Service Commission, School of Government, all these guys to try and come up with a holistic sort of support program. And thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Henk and Doctor, for the presentation. Members, the presentation is before us and for engagement. Okay, I'll start from the bottom, right up to the end. Thank you.
Thank you. So my question is to Dr. Nsiki. From my personal experience, I've also found that I can only agree with you that you say the problem is in the leadership and management. Now, this committee has got a dual character. We also serve Department of Public Service and Administration. And the question therefore is, how can we get the right managers in the right departments where they can make the difference that we so need? Because the appointment processes in government, you know, may not always lead to the fact that the person that can make the biggest contribution will go to the worst department where the best. I often use the term, say, I want to farm on a farm with good soil and good rain. If I've got a choice, I'd rather choose one like that. And the same with when I go to a government department and I'm ambitious, I would rather go to a department, you know, where the basics are already in place, etc. And my question is just, what are your suggestions then, now that you've, I almost want to say, rightly identified the cause of the problem, how are we, what are your proposals for us to fix it? Thank you.
Honorable Mare.
Thank you, Jay. I've got this question about the director general, that is really a very senior position, that's what we call it. And if it was a bad place and the wrong appointment was done, what rectifying measures would be on your side to enforce that this is no leadership and management skills at all, He could have been presented to the interview, but it is not what is happening in the department. And if it effectively the whole department would suffer of a person in that senior position that could effectively show leadership and manage the department. Also to the not benefit of the taxpayer that's paying that salary package to a person that's not.
Thank you, Honorable Tao.
Thank you, Chair. Just a couple of issues. Every time I listen to a presentation, I have a throwback. You know, when you have lived as long as I've done, you almost like your life is coming back over and over again. The issue of in management afterthought. You know, you talked about HR and the lack of linkage between strategic management and HR. It's almost HR is something there, you know. And how do you guys propose to actually make the leadership in these departments appreciate the fact that it is in fact HR, because it is the people who actually need to be at the heart of these plans and stuff like that. The other point is, I noticed that if you look at the graphs, the financial management thing seems to be improving year on year. What is being done there to achieve that? Because again, this is one of the difficult areas. So if we can learn something from that, maybe we can look at how we can impact HR on that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable
Belma.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for your presentation. I have two questions. You spoke about the resources that you have, but they're not using it appropriately. Can you give us an example of what you mean when they're not using the resources appropriately? And then last week we received a presentation from the Public Service Commission, and they said that sometimes staff who are appointed, they have the qualifications, but they don't know how to use those qualifications in the specific department that they are working for. Now, if you know that such a situation exists, how will you assist that staff member or that official to work and do the work properly so that the department can improve? So how will you assist in terms of that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Tombela.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks for the presentation. Mention was made of the implementation of 6 basic steps, such as leading with commitment and consideration. Where this principle or where this item is not implemented, how does the department inculcate the principle? What is it that is done to address specific objectives in terms of the basic steps that we have alluded to? There are times when the department realizes that there is no organizational climate, or the organizational climate is not conducive for performance. Have you maybe identified the causal factors to such, and the particular remedial actions to address that, particularly with the province of the Northwest? I'm sure there should have been measures that are put in place in order to assist this province, and one is interested in knowing what are those measures that have been put in place to assist them? Because, of course, it's not only be Northwest only. It will also apply in other provinces, depending on their performance. Mr. Henk has indicated that it's still early. We are still at a basic level in terms of our administrative development towards the goal that we have set ourselves as far as the NDP is concerned, which is 2030. But the measures that we put in place to address these problems that we have indicated to, are they biting enough to cajole? Are they biting enough to coerce those departments or those people that are not performing to an extent that at least when we look at 2030, we'll be able to say, if we don't succeed, say, but this is the ground that we have covered so far, and this is the best we could do under the circumstances. You have also spoken of the managerial task team. One is interested in knowing what are they doing, what have they put in place, so that tomorrow when we assess or go back to the remedial measures that were put in place to assist, we are able to say, but there has not been any difference. These measures have been tried before. So what is it that the ministerial task team is doing that is different to what has always been doing and never succeeded? And last, Chair, I do not think it is proper that year after year we should be talking about the serial offenders, such as the correctional services, your veterans, and what's the other one? Well, there's a slight improvement, yes, congratulations. There are these guys, these departments that we know, they've always been categorized as these serial offenders. In the trainings that you offer them, the training and all the advices that are put in place for them, do they attend? How do they participate? Are they participating like people who want to improve? Does their structure, or the structure, does it pay attention to all the help that is brought to them so that they're able to improve from the situations where they are? And Chair, my suggestion lastly. Did I say lastly before?
No, it doesn't matter because you can't count.
Okay. I must have said finally.
Yes.
But lastly this time. Lastly, Chair, I would really strongly suggest that we call these departments, we call these DGs as a matter of agency. Just talk to them face to face, so that they can tell us what is it that is so difficult that makes them not to improve over the years, and what is it that they themselves have put in place to make sure that in the next coming future we are not going to talk up the same language. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. No, thank you. From my side, it's not questions, it's building up on Honorable Zembela's recommendation. Is that also conveyed to your principal, the minister, to say we are saying that he must assist us. Even the public works, there's a slight shift. There's still a lot that needs to be done, so you can't take them out from the rest. So they need to come back also, so that also he conveyed this message in a very polite but very strong word to his counterparts. Because we can call the departments here, but the bottom line, the buck stops by the executive authority, so to say. I know there are IMC committees, but committees are committees. They're not dealing with the hardcore issues. I've never been there because I'm not a minister, but I hope they are not also those departments under that IMC. They become defensive as well. But I'm saying that's a recommendation that we are putting forward. You find a better way to say it in a nice way, but also when we see him, we'll raise it. But you can't say it the way we would have loved to say it. We must say it in a polite way. Two is to say in our next year that we must ensure Marcin and Julius that we include this one. We did say it previously. We must invite them, these three in particular. But also still, I want to include public works as well. But also they need to tell us what makes them, because correctional service, if you recall, honorable members, they didn't pitch up. They confused themselves. And that's why they didn't know that they must invite correctional services. It only came, justice came, which were not necessarily targeting justice, we're targeting correctional services. But we have never had a platform with correctional services. So I'm saying as one of our priorities, so that at last, come this time around next year, there is a shift of improvement. That would be my point. But may you respond to the areas of clarity and questions from members? But also to say, when you report to your principal, what does he say if he's raising this concern? What other mechanism besides the administrative one that he thinks must be employed to rescue the situation? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Perhaps I should start by just the last point from the Honorable Chair. I will refer to a report that is still to come here on the frontline service delivery monitoring, because I'm also responsible for that program, just to make an example. When I saw that the issues that come from frontline monitoring are issues that have been coming through the years, issues of infrastructure, of course they would be reported as the department is working in a dilapidated building, there is no access, they are working, but it contributes to long queues. So I then looked at this, I said, but these are issues that cannot be resolved by managers in the frontline, because they are issues for public works that should be looked at a high level. So then I consolidated these issues and then I presented to Minister. Then I said, I proposed that it be taken to the Interministerial Committee for Ministers, so that the Minister for Public Works ensures that his department address these issues, because they are at the province level, sometimes even in the public institutions that are housed, their accommodation is directed by public works. So same, you would go in frontline monitoring, you would be told that, no, the staffing shortage of staff is the same story all over again. And we saw that the causal factor there is the delegations and the delegation policies that's caused by DPSA. Then we said, okay, let us lift it to all these issues to the Interministerial Committee, so that the Minister for DPSA sees that this issue is at the policy level is looked at. So I want to say that we may have to take the same approach, because in my response to the Honourable Member's first question, how do we get the right managers? The issue here is that the recruitment system does not measure adequately the things that we'd want to see in a manager. So when you interview a person, then they are eloquent in speaking, but it doesn't say that person is able to lead. It also doesn't say anything about the attitude of the official. It's only when the official is in the department that people will feel this is a round, you know, this is a square peg in a round hole. You've got DGs that lead by intimidating people. It's known they are afraid, officials are afraid if the DG promise, you know, firing you. They are in the system. They were able to respond to the questions that were asked or whatever made them to be put in that position. I always make this point, Honorable Members. A position or a portfolio, it does not equate the ability to lead.
No, Ima, Doctor. One second on that one. Isn't it in the administration psychometric test and this other test and also writing and all that also, where also you also gauge the attitude and all those things that are sought in a person? Are we not applying that?
Those that have access to ability to judge, but does it measure your emotional intelligence? No. It measures your ability to judge, make decisions, the competency assessment. But whether you apply your mind before you speak to a person, it doesn't. There are managers that we know, they first speak, then they think later. So the issue is what tools therefore should we really use to look at this. Secondly, when they are already in the system, how do we then support? This is why we then propose this sub-intervention strategy. We have seen, honourable members, also that in our system, the institutions or structures that we have for supporting the DGs are not sufficient comparing to other countries. In Canada, there is a school of governance that is functioning. I'm not comparing it to any other school, but that is fully functioning, where the DGs go, the directors generals, they go, they are specific topics that are dealt with. I don't know whether it's Honorable Ndombela or Honorable who was saying that it happens that a person is educated but not being able to use the qualifications at work, but that question was raised here. Yes, we saw that even in other countries. Formal education, you obtain your degree, your master's, your work. But when you get to work now, you have to apply being able to lead, coordinate, supervise. Now those things you have studied theoretically, now it's practical, you have to do it. Now what is tested here is your personality, is your attitude. It's no longer the theoretical knowledge that you acquired. So again, in Canada when we discussed this point, we see that they, in their school of governance, they deal specifically with the content that's going to assist these graduates to be able to utilize education. So they told us straight away, and Hank was there, that formal education, we put it aside. We use it for recruiting. But when you get here, we make sure that which you learn is how to run the organization. So I'm saying the recruitment system, yes, it's there. It helps us in other aspects, but cannot give everything about the official. Now, the proposed, because the honourable member was asking, what then do you propose? When we tabled this case study in the cabinet committee, we proposed that if MPES would be integrated into the performance agreement of the Director General, it would make a change, because the Director General will know that they are not only measured on the ability to plan. Now they know that you must have the threat plan, you must have the APP, you must work on AG's report. You must work on your annual report, you must comply to AG's requirements. Now if you put the MPED scores, if MPED contributes to the scores, they shall know that they will be assessed on the functioning, how well do they run the institution. Now it will make them to be all round, you know, in their management. Again, we were proposing that to the cabinet, and then this report was then referred that all the ministers, they need to hear, so that they get to agree that this is what their DGs should do. We believe that it can assist Chair, because now they will know that even how you manage your people, because it contributes to the organizational climate, you must be measured on that. In private sector, it's called 360 degrees assessment. Mm-hmm. With us, managers, when they assess people, is intimidation, is the supervisor assessing the other one, but the employee cannot say, but we are such a poor manager, how do I tell you that? They can't tell, because when the boss is talking. So we want the leaders to be able to be assessed by those that they are leading. And I was going to put a third point, that this then, Chair, it goes across the society, not only in government, across the society, consequence management. For now, people are like saying, no, even if you are caught up, no one is going to do anything. Even if you are a poor manager, it comes out in your scores, no one is going to do anything. And we need to, from all levels, from the executive to the administration, everyone in government should know that if you don't do things right, there shall be consequences following. And I think that's what the committee could assist, also us in driving that. Because for now, again, the honourable member shall know, we adopted the Malaysian system as a country, Operation Pakistan. We do things the way it is and clarify things, put deliverables. The test is when people haven't done what they were supposed to do, what happens there. So until we change that culture. So if we start with us and by institutionalizing this impact in the DG's performance agreement, and then the assessments are done, and then the DG's performance assessment are centralized as the policy proposes that there should be performance assessment run by DG, we call it head of public service in that policy. Because when you do it like that, you try to eliminate the subjectivity also. Again, I don't want to keep harping about this, it's important to share what we saw, what we saw. MPET, we look at Canada, we make example about Canada, because they have the tool that is similar to ours. It's called MAF there. So from the results of the MAF, it's not generalization. The Director General sits with the DG that's not performing and say, these are the scores, answer these questions. Why are you doing like this in infrastructure? Why in your people management? Why in your... So you get a tool. So it's not the minister of the DG who is saying that. It's the head of public service that is saying that. They call it the clerk. So the Director General is told by the clerk that this is how you are performing. So it eliminates the subjectivity because it's based on the assessment. And then those conversations, those executive conversations are based on the tool everyone is agreed upon. That is like, it's like our own MP. So this is where we are moving to. This is why in the interventions we're proposing the executive conversations, and those call for a leader who knows first his place as a leader to be able to engage another Director General and say, we agreed that as a Director General, you should also perform in area 1, 2, 3. You are not doing well in that area. And when they have those conversations, the first option is to support that Director General to improve in those areas, but also that Director General must then have face consequences for not being able to perform in other areas. Because in Canada, they change that Director General. They place another, because it means if you are in education and you can't get education right, you're not supposed to be there. So we're taking a step here to say, to keep happening that they are serial offenders. We have now done the case that what is causing this serial offending is poor managerial leadership. Everyone has been saying in public sector there is poor leadership. So we wanted to say, what about leadership? Where are they poor at? What's the point that need to be addressed there? That's why then we came up with the intervention strategies that we are proposing. I will allow Heng to talk about the use of resources, that slide that shows strategic management and human resource management. Where there is no leading with commitment, what do you do to rectify that? Honourable Ndombela, again, we have seen this, and I said earlier on, we don't ourselves do climate surveys or satisfaction surveys for default, but we interact with officials, and we see that there are those departments where officials feel like they are in the, it's like in a place where they're not supposed to be. But human resource management driven by DPSA do make space for exit, what we call exit exit survey, you know, exit interview, to say what caused people to leave this department. Now, if we were to utilize that information, so DPSA collects that information, but nothing is done about that information, even though it wouldn't give us a complete picture, because other officials do manage to exit, but other officials will be unhappy but be trapped in that system. Remember, you will be able to exit if you are employable, if you've got skills to offer elsewhere, then you'll be able to exit. But if you don't have that, if no one is developing you in that poor organizational climate, no one is assisting you to improve your performance, you'll be trapped in that system. So we really need to get the PSA to just say, come with these statistics. What are we doing with this picture that we see? So at least we're in the same committee with them. We should also utilize that. There was a proposal, I think, in the committee when the SG was presenting stats, South Africa stats, and then the departments were presenting our own things, and then we said we want to do climate surveys. So the SG says, if Stats SA can be allowed to do even these climate surveys in these areas of delivery, it could assist the committee, because they can then tell us that you want to achieve these objectives, but the conditions inside, there's no one to help you achieve these objectives. So perhaps it's something that we should also consider.
I think
you're
done.
Yes, thank you very much. And let me give him. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Members. Just, I mean, the question on how do we get HR to function well, and I've been an old public servant, but in 1999 we issued the new public service regulation, and the whole intent of the public service regulation was to move away from administration to HR management, and we're still finding lots and lots of HR units within the public service that are still just focusing on administration. And I think the example Doctor gave about when we recruit, you know, do you as the human resources support function in the department come and assist me with tools, instruments, and all those stuff of things to do that? So yes, you know, for HR to be a strategic partner, they must actually prove and earn their space to when they're taken serious. So I think, you know, that's one sort of area. And maybe the question was also raised, why is finances improving and better than HR? Maybe it's also there's definitely more focus, there's more airtime, so the CFOs get more airtime at management meetings. You know, they listen to, but maybe it's because they're providing information at a strategic sort of point and strategically, you know, for people to sort of look at. So the resource allocation, where I think honourable members said whether it's not appropriate. So what we find is the department would typically, I know there were some agriculture departments in provinces where the decision was taken, yes, we're not going to own farms anymore. And then they would sell all the farms, and then for probably the last 10, 15 years, they still stood just sitting with the farm workers on their structure.
Mm-hmm.
And that. Other departments will take a decision to say, obviously I can't recruit professional engineers and those things, so I'm going to outsource the function. But then they, you know, their profile, they're still sitting with some. You know, we've had some DGs talking about, I remember the one DG was saying, you know, I committed to deliver X statistical and analysis and that, but obviously as the public service we cannot hire any actuaries because of our salaries and those things, actuaries just doesn't end up working for the public service. So but they're committing to things where they know they don't have the resources. Maybe also the use of qualification. And it's part of the culture, it's part of the leadership of departments, is do we allow people to make mistakes in the public service? So in our detailed sort of steps in how to manage public services, saying allow people room to make mistakes. And again, we're seeing a lot of people going on courses, they have lots of qualifications, come with quite good ideas on how to improve the public service, but then they never allowed the space to implement those things. I know you've got time issues, but so yeah, I think just the Honourable Member's question about how do we inculcate these steps and stuff, I think we also saying we've got to do it as a change management process. So first is you create awareness. So people's got to become aware and say, this is the things I want you. And then we've got to come in and give them information, assistance on then how to change. So I think School of Government is working on their executive programs. DPSA has got the mentorship, coaching, and those things coming up. So hopefully a lot of things are put in place to get executive top management supported and to change. Thanks.
Yeah, you can, at least you can read my body language. Thank you so much, Doc. Thanks so much for the presentation and also the engagement. As we said earlier on, that it's water under the bridge, unfortunately, but it's very useful. So I want just to confirm with members, we agree that as one of our priorities in our, when we're coming back from recess next year, 2017, we'll invite your Northwest, your correctional services, military veterans, and also public works. But also, when we invite them, we also invite their principals. We'll see how do we manage that one, because it's of no use to call the DGs and all that, and also there's no appreciation from the principals. Fortunately, the principals are also deputies. But we'll find a very polite way how to say that. That's one. Two, we're saying that in terms of what else? Well, the other one is to say, how do we then, as this portfolio become champions of elevating the general organizational performance vis-a-vis the financials? Because I think at least the AG has started to do that when they assess the departments. But DPME in particular and this portfolio committee must make sure that we hammer on that one, so that also there's a same level in terms of the importance of this area. What else? I think that's how we can, but if there's any other additional point that members would like to engage, because others for NSG, we have been raising it, that NSG also must assist, even when we're dealing with B-Tool, also we even make a recommendation that NSG must ensure that their curriculum is accredited. It was not for to go to that school if I know that is a PR exercise. So we, at least this year we have made that recommendation, and we need also to oversight what processes are they going to engage on towards that. Yeah. Other than that, anything, honourable members, I'll come to you that end of this. Honourable Bastian?
I'm just interested in the tool that you are using to get to these scores or to these measurements. Is that available electronically? Would you be able to forward that electronically to us, so that we can just see, you know, what are you measuring when you talk about this? Thank you. And then just lastly, I want to apologize for saying Dr. Mtsiki. Seems to people your surname.
No,
it's a Sayinka. Yeah. I'm going to try it, Sayinka.
But at least we haven't done. No, but we haven't done great at her to me. She's a doctor.
can I propose?
He hasn't finished. We're just saying lightly. Allow him to finish. We're just using the opportunity to smile. Yeah. Okay, you can come in. And press the button.
To propose at the time considered by the committee, perhaps to call this so-called Center of Government Department, DPSA, DPME, NSG, because the issues that we're talking about on leadership, we should come to the committee jointly to say this is what we're going to do. Because for instance, if Public Service Commission comes, they present, they say, we're looking at professionalization of government, then they talk about signing of performance agreement. It's again this disintegration, then they drive that line, they go. And then we come, we say, this is, we want to improve leadership, managerial leadership, we have to put this, and then DPSA comes and talk about the Public Service Act. That for me is, these elements should all be supporting the implementation of the Public Service Act. So if we are called together to say, just what are you doing jointly, mm-hmm. then when we come here, we say based on the Public Service Act we're doing this, we report together. It will also minimize this disintegration in government and create a more focused effort if there could be something like that. I know we come together, Chair, but the one will be talking about this, the other one will be talking about this, the other one will be talking about this, but all of these we're trying to create, you know, a reform out there in public service.
Suggestion taken. Honourable Member, were you done? Honourable Fine, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Honourable Dow, Maret, anything?
I'm done.
Sure. Okay. No, I want to be sure from the chair.
Yeah, just a quick reminder, you know, when reference
was made to the 360 degree instrument that has to be used. And I'm just sort of smiling to think about it, if we had to employ the 360 degree assessment tool for all these guys at senior management level, and that would impact on their bonuses, you know how quickly the improvement would happen. Unbelievable. We are a product of those kinds of things.
Hey, don't say it loud, I'm from there. That is the
well.
Doctor has said it more elaborately than I would have done. Mm. That's what I exactly wanted to say. How we're going to collaborate on these people, mm-hmm. bring them to one, under one roof and come out with a common answer. My last one, Chair, it's the 360 degrees assessment tool. How does it compare with our MPET? Or how does our MPET compare with just for curiosity's sake?
So that can you just comment so that you can close it? But I just wanted to say before you, Doc, that you know, Honorable Dow, when I was in my other life, I used to fight with my seniors. Because I said, you can't be more than me. I report to you. I've performed. I've done 1, 2, 3. I've gone an extra mile. It's not about the money also. But when you are confident that even the part that we're saying that also the character or the managerial character, I used to have my subordinates to ask them to call a departmental meeting to say, in particular to the managers, because there were quite a few managers reporting to us, tell me, what areas do you want me to change? You feel like we can perform better? Because I don't want you to be scared of me. I want you to respect me so that also we make, I was in Etego Municipality, to make the city tick in our own spaces. And they used to tell me. And I'm not going to tell you how they used to call me. I had another day. But I said, I always say it's fine, but also the other issues, there's something that I know my weakness, that when we are late, I don't take it kindly if we haven't apologized. And also when you have agreed that you are going to do this, and then you change your mind, you don't say. So they used to tell me to say, hey, the way you react. And I say, but why? You know, you started 7:30, what's the problem? Let's deal with the problem, so that we can understand. But I'm saying that point also, it doesn't need to be regulated in terms of management skills. It can be just be when you are within the management forum. It can be also be shared. And also it does have even deals with the staff morale. Because the underperformance sometimes it borders on the staff morale as it may. Okay, Doc.
Thank you very much, Doctor. Yeah, we should definitely change out of this thing. Because this topic is very interesting. Honestly, I dare say, for example, if the Director General does not want people to arrive late in the meeting, but he is the one who is always known to be late in meetings and starting with the apology, this is the simplest thing. It's not going to work. So the 360 degrees, Honorable, he's so right. If we were to implement that, it would get everyone jacking up their head. So we're meeting with the PSA now because we are saying they should perhaps look at taking over the assessment of compliance areas that are in the MPET, so that we look at how do people use certain elements to bring about change in the department, just focusing on the areas of managerial leadership. To answer your question, Chair, MPET has got some of the elements of the 360 degrees, not all of them, but we can incorporate them if we're just looking at managerial leadership practices in government.
Okay. Okay, other than that, I think it was the other one, we are fortunate that we are the only one that was going to make a presentation. Next time you should know it's 20 minutes. It's just that it was a good Wednesday for us. Thank you so much.
And you do.
Thank you so much. Honorable members, that comes to the conclusion in terms of the presentation. There are two items that we promised to look at. One is the COSATU letter, a memorandum or a petition that we have received. I'm presenting it formally now because last time I just said it as an announcement so that it gets tabled formally here. I will request that the administration circulate to all of us, but also to highlight or assign the area that we think it falls under us. What they've given us is a more of a petition of workers' petition, let me say that, which also goes to the private sector and government. So we have also identified our areas that we need to look at. Probably when moving forward, then there might be a need also to engage with them because others will ask the department to respond to these areas. Because some of them also we have been engaging with as a portfolio committee. So there is progress, hopefully, but probably it's an issue of engagement without taking the Labour Department's portfolio committee its responsibility. I just want to table it formally with that recommendation before the committee. What's the view of the committee? Okay, we are fine with that. So can you just please formally and then secure to members and make sure that we send it to the relevant departments to respond to. The other one is the letter that was sent to us through myself from TSC. They are doing a business re-engineering, so they would like also to come back. We must fit it in the next year's program so that they can take us through, so that you can see the difference with the proposed amendments vis-a-vis the business model that they are coming up with. But in a nutshell, what they wanted, if members will recall, I think, Marie, by that time you were not with us, but they raised the issue that they are not so, even on their, when we are engaging on their quarterly reports, that they are not so comfortable where they are housed, because they also need to also oversight over DPSA while they are still housed in DPSA. And also that one also, I'll request the management, the administration to circulate it to all of us. But also we'll keep the copy so that when then time comes to discuss that one, we invite them. We also have copies. You can have that. The other one was from the House Chair, Mr. Florek. I think we're in order. The only thing that for us also, just for information sharing, is that because I'm an acting chair, so I'm new in the space, I must also share some of the things that they complain about is that we engage on fruitless expenditures in terms of our counseling meetings, and that must come to a stop. But they said they will call the offenders, and I'm praying that we're not going to be among those ones who are going to be called. The other one that they requested, because next day we're also going to go to on oversight, that members also must be mindful that when you have arranged that you're going to sleep in this hotel to be picked up at this port and all those, there are other administrative financial implications which as members were not so sensitive towards them. The other one was the issue that he raised that we must ensure that we assist each other in terms of the program. When we have submitted the program, we must try our level best to respect the program that we'd have adopted. And also all the amendments in terms of the bills that are before us, they must be processed as soon as possible so that come 2018, we are not then working like we're under pressure as if we didn't know. So far, with the process that unfolded this morning, I think we're still on the right track. Other than that, I think there's anything else that I'm omitting, Ms. Kwan? Okay, the other one, the last one, is that we are going to have a management meeting tomorrow, and next week we are going to present a draft program of next year to the committee. But I'm suggesting also, honorable members, if there's anything that you think that it should be included, please send that one to Maspole so that also we can see, then we can formalize and present it to the committee next week. Yeah, now I'm done. Honorable Mare, and then Vice President.
Chairperson, I'm just going to ask, maybe somewhere I missed it, but there is still outstanding minutes that we really have to look at, because we're going for Christmas and there is definitely still outstanding minutes.
Okay. Honorable Pantari says, then, I don't know what I'm saying.
Thank you, Chair. And with the outstanding minutes, also outstanding attendance registers, because I have asked for our performance development management system, and perhaps the process is that we must first adopt the minutes and then they will attend to the attendance registers, but it seems as if we haven't been here for a year. But my real question, ma'am, is about the Public Service Commission Amendment Bill. This thing has been dragging on since September of last year. It's recently been confirmed that this is also a Section 76 bill.
Yes.
Which affects the provinces, etc. And I would just like to know, you know, have we received the feedback from the provinces? I can't recall that we ever considered the feedback from the provinces. And I also don't see this on this year's program for the few remaining sittings that we have to still adopt that bill. Does it mean that that bill will be standing over to 2017? Thank you.
Honorable Tom, okay. Honorable Tom, we're not here. In terms of the public service bill, it's scheduled for 30 November, which is next week. The reason was that when the legal services came to make a presentation, if you recall in the old assembly where the minister was, we made our input. And then the legal services were supposed then to capture our input. You remember, I think it's you or yes also. But they didn't capture that. In our last presentation before this, we requested that the department must also ensure that they incorporate the issues that we raised, because they were in agreement with those issues. Because they are a legal, it's not so serious, but also it does, because we cannot include other amendments that the department didn't include. It changes the whole processes of the bill. Hence, we requested then the department to include what we said when they were doing public hearings as one of their stakeholders. Hopefully, if I request that, we can get it as soon so that before the date there, so that we can see whether it has been incorporated, so that then we can make sure that that process you are talking about starts kicking in, which is very important. The other one, in terms of the minutes, are also scheduled for the 7th of December. What we said we're going to set aside, if members recall, we're going to set aside the whole day for the minutes. But last meeting, Maspole, which I haven't seen it coming, I know we were a little bit busy with the interview, is that there must be package in terms of chunks like that so that we can start reading them. Because what we have done, which is good for now, is that there's no outstanding minutes for the interim actors, sessions and all that. But the other ones, we have to make sure that. But also, I think, Maspole, in terms of the attendance registers, I don't foresee any problem why we can't assist the member in terms of that. Because my suggestion is that I know you submit them, but if we can develop for just to assist them, just to make a copy, and not even a copy, you scan it and send it to all of us. And you are able to do that as an extra administrative work, so that, honestly, because, yeah, let me just stop there. Because it will help. Honorable Mare, we are covered here. Yeah. Other than that, honorable members, enjoy the rest of your week. I hope this afternoon we are going to see. Bye-bye. See you. Bye-yo. Thank you. There's something there. Honorable members, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. This is my lunch.
Oh, we finished early.
I saved my breakfast for my lunch.
Some time.
This is how I eat.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Thank you so much.
No.
I'm so happy now. Now I can tell people. He asked me on the phone. I'm not sure. Last week with us. That I'm happy. I said, no, not quite. That very thing will be happy. He was right. Now I'm happy.
I'm sorry, it's running around.
No, it's here.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I need your email. I'm trying to get the